This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're in stoppage time right now. CONCACAF Gold Cup quarterfinal action. The United States and Costa Rica are knotted at 2, which means that we are likely headed towards extra time penalties. And this is why you bet the 2 advanced market in these elimination games rather than the 3-way lines. Right now, looking at your live market, the 2 advanced bets. It has now been taken off the board, but the last we checked, the United States north of minus 250, close to minus 300 to advance, but that certainly would have shortened up as we got towards the end of regulation time here, as the U.S. will look to avoid what would be the second big upset of the day after Guatemala upset Canada earlier here in the Gold Cup. Also live in progress right now, the Tigers, a 3-0 lead over the Twins in the bottom of the seventh inning there in Detroit. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network, as we turn our attention to the championships, Wimbledon. That's right. Wimbledon will begin several hours from now. The first matches of the first round beginning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line to break it all down is Scott Reichel from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Scott, thanks so much for a couple of minutes here. I know you're excited about Wimbledon beginning. I was taking a look at the futures market, and I wanted to get your thoughts here on the top of the futures board. Carlos Alcaraz is a short favorite to win the men's side at plus 120. Yannick Sinner is your second favorite at plus 200, and Novak Djokovic, your third favorite at plus 650. Does that order seem correct to you, and do those numbers seem accurate to you?
It sounds correct to me. Alcaraz should be favored. We know that he did win the French Open against Sinner, but he's also the two-time defending champion in Wimbledon. Sinner and Alcaraz, we know, are clearly head and shoulders above everybody else on tour at this point. So I do think it sounds right that Alcaraz is a slight favorite over Sinner, but those two are clearly the main two threats to win the whole thing. The thing about Djokovic, though, is that he's the two-time runner-up. We know that he's won this event many, many times in his career. The problem is that at this stage in his career, might be his final Wimbledon. He has kind of hinted towards retirement at the end of the season. I think he should be longer. I think Alcaraz and Sinner are that much better than everybody else. Alcaraz dominated in the final against Djokovic last year. You mentioned it's around 650, give or take. That feels kind of short to me. Wow. I think Joker should be around 8-1, 9-1, but I do think it's a two-horse race. It's tough to pick against Alcaraz or Sinner at this point. They're so much better than everybody. I think that the order's right, but I think Joker's actually cheap. I think he should be closer to 8-1 or 9-1.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you found any value on Joker. Clearly, you do not, as you think he should be longer odds here. And of course, shop around, see if you can find a better number if you do want to place a long shot play on someone like Novak Djokovic. But the top two, clearly, as Scott, you mentioned, head and shoulders above the rest of the field. On the women's side, we have a pretty sizable gap in the market. Sabalenka is an overwhelming favorite to win the women's side. Does she belong as a couple of tiers ahead of the rest of the field?
So it's kind of interesting because she's never actually made the final in Wimbledon. She had a couple of years where she was not able to participate. She did make the semis in each of the last two appearances. I can understand why she's favored, but unlike the men's draw and the men's history of the event, this has been extremely chaotic over the last few years. And to actually read off the recent winners, you've had many series long shots winning the event. We saw Krajicova win at north of 100-1. We saw Vondrozova at 100+1. And even Rybakina at the time was 100+1. So I'm not going to go chalk for the women's side here in Wimbledon. I'm going to skip Sabalenka. She has lost in the final in each of the first two Grand Slams this season. I do think there are other options. I did not mind Rybakina at 6-1. I thought the bottom half was significantly weaker than the top half of the draw. So I am going to kind of target that area. Give me Rybakina at 6-1. I'm going to go with the American, though. I am going to go with Pegula, who just won a grass title this past weekend. 22-1, I think, has some value. We did see Keys win her first ever Grand Slam in Australia earlier this year. We saw Goff win the French Open. Let's keep it rolling for the Americans. I'll go with Pegula at 22-1 as well. I think there are some opportunities to take some, I'd say, longer stabs when it comes to quarter odds and when it comes to outrights for the women's event, which has been chaotic. The men's one has been extremely, extremely top-heavy. To mention a fun stat here, the last time somebody not named Alcaraz, Djokovic, Federer, Murray, or Nadal won Wimbledon, was Hewitt in 2002.
Wow.
It's been absolute chalk on the men's side. So that's why I'm going Alcaraz and Sinner. For the women's side, though, get creative. I'm not picking Sabalenka to win. I think she can win, but I see it being more unpredictable, as we have seen for the last few years. I'm willing to kind of take, once again, more risk when it comes to the women's side on long shots, because it seems like every year somebody unexpected makes the Cinderella run.
Well, you stole my next question, because I was going to ask you on the women, which American advances the furthest, Goff, Keys, or Pegula? It sounds like you like taking a flyer on Pegula here. She's 22-1 to win, but if I just gave you those three, would you still be taking Pegula to advance further?
I would. Goff played one grass match after winning the French Open, and she lost to a qualifier in straight sets. I don't think she's that great on grass. I think it's her worst surface. She's fine, but I do think looking at the actual draw and looking at the current form, Goff just has not played much grass getting ready for this tournament. Maybe she'll figure it out as she goes, but I do think based on the three keys I was going to pass on, she's never made the semis in Wimbledon, neither has Goff with a smaller sample, I'll admit. But I think Pegula can make some noise, beats Swiatek in the final in Hamburg this past weekend. If I had to pick between those three, I think Pegula has a decent chance to make a deep run. And I do think she would make it the furthest out of all the Americans.
And the Buffalo Bills fans will be rooting for her as well. Talking to Scott Reichel of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN as we take a look at Wimbledon. The first matches will begin 6 a.m. Eastern time. Let's take a look at some of your first round bets here. Where are we going? We'll start on the men's side. What do you have for the first round?
All right, so for the actual first round, I'm going to start off with a parlay. I'll go with the bankroll builder. I'll go with Sinner, who's a massive favorite in straight sets, parlayed with an American. I'll go with TN Moneyline, and that pays out at minus 125. Sinner, we know, is a top two player in the world. Nardi, though, doesn't really have many weapons to actually challenge him, and I think that Sinner should dominate. TN, though, has shown some promise on grass, did beat Shelton in straight sets this past week. Bassavaretti, another American, has really been bad recently on grass, lost both grass and main draw matches entering the event. TN's also 2 in a lifetime in the head-to-head, so I do think you're looking at a spot where Tien is a decent favorite, but you can cut into it by taking Sinner in straight sets, which feels like almost a free parlay leg. Mm. I'll take that approach. Give me the parlay there at minus 125.
Okay. Now, as far as these heavy favorites are concerned, in the early stages of these events, would you recommend parlaying some of these big favorites?
I think you definitely can if the price is, I'd say, once again, reasonable. And I'm going to take a different approach there with one of the favorites. I think one area that people overlook when it comes to massive favorites is the team total market, because you can go after the players that are going to get destroyed most likely while avoiding some of the potentially close sets. Because, for example, I do like Fognini, who takes on Alcaraz. I like his team total under at 9.5 of minus 135. Alcaraz, we know, is the best player in the world or top two. Two-time defending champion. Fognini, though, been around for a long time. He's going to retire most likely at the end of the year. Point is, though, even if Fognini does keep one set close, he could run out of gas. He could get destroyed in a set 6-1 or 6-0 even. And he has lost 7 of his last 8 matches. If you want to cut in on the juice, you can find other ways to predict the blowout while finding better prices. So to answer your question, I think there are unique markets to actually go for when it comes to massive favorites instead of laying massive chalk. I'll go with Fognini, team total under 9.5 of minus 135.
I like that. You know, I was just looking at the Fognini matchup against Alcaraz, and up on DraftKings, you can bet the first set market. And so you get plus 125 for the first set to be either 6-2, 6-1, or 6-love. Plus 125.
Yeah, once again, it sounds like it's supposed to be an extremely lopsided matchup.
Yeah. So that's something I would, that's at least I was just taking a look at that here for that first round matchup. Where else are you going here on the card, either for the first matches here on Monday or maybe on the next day?
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with the Americans, though. I'm going to go with the matchup with Opelka and Shevchenko. Give me the over for the total games at 40.5. I saw minus 115. Opelka, we know, is a serve bot. He's a monster server, a really bad returner, and he's had at least one tiebreak in 7 of his last 9 matches. Opelka, though, is about minus 330 on the money line, but Shevchenko's minus 275 to win a set. So it seems like they're basically pricing in a guaranteed 4 or 5 sets. You get a breaker in there, a couple of 6-4. Suddenly you're cruising towards an over. But there should be at least one breaker, maybe a couple. And if you get 4 sets, it's kind of a guaranteed win at that point. So I think there's a couple ways to, once again, target some of the closer matchups. Opelka, though, we know can serve very well. He's a bad returner, though. Shevchenko can steal a set. I think he should. Give me the over, 40.5 games at minus 115.
All right, we got about a minute left, Scott. Any other best bets here for the opening round?
Yeah, so I'm going to fade an American. I'm going to fade Eubanks. I'll go with DeJong, money line at minus 130. Eubanks has been in bad form. He's lost 6 of the last 7. DeJong played 5 grass matches on the ATP level to prepare for the event, and he won at least 1 set in 4 of them. I think he's in better form. I'll take him there. And I'll go with the first set play. Give me Jarry first set, plus 1.5 games at minus 135. Rune is the better player, but he has lost the first set in 4 of his last 5 matches, and he's lost the first set in 5 of his last 6 Wimbledon matches. So Rune is a bit of a slow starter. Jarry made it through qualifying, did not drop a set. Think he's in a good spot to maybe steal the first set even at plus 160. If you want to go for the money line, I don't mind the spread, though. Give me Jarry to do some damage in the first set against Rune as my last pick.
Scott, great stuff as always. Continued success. We'll be listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and we look forward to winning these bets.
Yep, thanks for having me.
There he is. Scott Reichel does great work there for the guys at the SGP. And good bets here on Wimbledon as the action will begin 6 a.m. Eastern time here on Monday as we get underway. The championships, comma, Wimbledon. I'm Scott Satterberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll update you on what's going on at the Gold Cup and Sunday Night Baseball as we head towards the end of this Tigers and Twins game. We'll see if Detroit can close out a W for us and get Tarek Skubal that W for our best bet. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
High drama at the Gold Cup as the U.S. men's national team and Costa Rica played into a shootout. Now in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, there is no extra time. So because of the 2-2 draw at the end of regulation, they go right into the penalty shootout where they went into, fourth and fifth. They're in the fifth round right now of the shootout here as Matt Fries has made the save off of Francisco Calvo, and now the U.S. will look to get the win if they can convert their next penalty here. They will get the win over Costa Rica, and it looks like this is also a miss. And we go to the sixth round of the penalty shootout. Both teams miss. So in the first round, both teams made. Second round of the shootout, the U.S. made. Costa Rica missed. Third round, the USA missed and Costa Rica made. Fourth round, both teams made their kicks. And in round 5, both teams missed their kicks. The U.S. men's national team had a chance to just wrap up a win. John Tolkien, left-footed shot saved by the keeper as we go to the sixth round of the penalty shootout with the winner advancing to the semifinal to take on Guatemala. A win here by Costa Rica would be, the upsets today. Could you imagine? Well, the game's not over yet, but if Costa Rica wins, a two-leg parlay between Costa Rica and Guatemala, how much that would have paid out. My goodness. It's just historic stuff here at the CONCACAF Gold Cup quarterfinal action. Some soccer drama right now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sunday Night Baseball is going to the bottom of the eighth with the Tigers holding a 3-0 lead over the Minnesota Twins. Tarek Skubal's day was done after 7 innings, 13 strikeouts, only 1 hit allowed, 1 walk on 93 pitches. Tommy Canley comes in and gets through the top of the eighth inning. So the Tigers will look to add maybe an insurance run or two here in the bottom of the eighth. And then all we need is the 3 outs and a handshake here in the top of the ninth for us to pick up our win on Tarek Skubal to pick up the W as our best bet for this Sunday night baseball game. And speaking of Skubal, with this performance, he became the first Tigers pitcher as, let me take a look at the actual stat here that the Tigers tweeted out just moments ago. I believe he's the first Tiger pitcher with 13 strikeouts in a game while allowing no more than one hit. That is Tiger baseball history. Tiger baseball history. As, let's see. We have a save by Freeze, and the United States has a chance to convert to win the Gold Cup. So let's get a, wow. I mean, the fact that we have Matt Freeze saving all three saves here in a penalty shootout is absolutely absurd. And the United States has now won. Freeze stopping three of six penalty shots. The United States advances on penalties to the semifinals of the Gold Cup. So what a sweat this was. The U.S. men's national team went down 1-0 in the 24th minute of this game. Actually, no, earlier than that, it was the 12th minute of this game. It was the 24th minute when we saw the score, and we talked about the live betting opportunities of doing a minus 125 to advance bet on the United States. Well, they come back. They take a 2-1 lead with a goal towards the end of the first half and a goal at the beginning of the second half. And then it was a 71st minute goal by Costa Rica to tie the game at two. We played through regulation. There is no extra time in the quarterfinals or semifinals of the Gold Cup. So right into the penalty shootout, where in the sixth round of the penalty shootout, the United States picks up the win. Damian Downs converting the game-winning penalty. And really the hero was the United States goaltender Matthew Freeze, who saved three out of six of the Costa Rican penalty shots. The United States will advance to take on Guatemala in the semifinal. And let's see if we have the market up for that one just yet, because the United States will be heavily favored over Guatemala, as that game is not up on the board just yet. We'll do a quick refresh and see if the sports books update that, see if they update that one yet. But that game is going to be on Wednesday, July 2nd at, it looks like, 7 o'clock Eastern time, the United States against Guatemala, and that is going to be at in St. Louis, Missouri. So that game is going to be played in St. Louis, Missouri. Energizer Park will be the site for the U.S. and Guatemala semifinals of the Gold Cup here, as the U.S. wins in Minnesota at U.S. Bank Stadium here against Costa Rica. Your other semifinal also on Wednesday. This one will be a later game. It's actually a 10 o'clock Eastern time start, and that is Mexico and Honduras, and that will be played at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. So the U.S. and Guatemala, 7 o'clock Eastern time from St. Louis in your first semifinal, Mexico and Honduras in your second semifinal at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday, July 2nd at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Right now, Mexico to advance is, well, they only have the money line price up right now, but minus 360 Mexico in the regulation lines. The draw, no bet, minus 1600. But again, you're paying heavy juice because if it is a draw, it's just a push. But obviously, the two advanced props or two advanced bets are the bets that we're going to be looking to place here on these matchups. Let's do a quick refresh to see if we get any updated lines here on the Gold Cup. And nope, nothing just yet. So we'll wait to see once the market puts up here on the United States and Guatemala, which I imagine the U.S. would be heavily favored. Canada was a massive favorite here over Guatemala, and they got upset. I would imagine the United States would be even heavier of a favorite against Guatemala. So they go into penalties, a lot of sweat, but the U.S. does get the victory. So congratulations, and soccer fans rejoice as the U.S. has advanced to the semifinals. Speaking of soccer, the FIFA Club World Cup resumes tomorrow. We have a couple of matches here on deck as we have Inter Milan, a minus 150 favorite over Fluminense. Man City is minus 370 in their match. The closest odds is actually Real Madrid against Juventus. Real is minus 150, Juventus plus 400. This is, I'm talking three-way lines here. Borussia Dortmund takes on Monterrey. Dortmund is minus 145. Palmeiras against Chelsea, where Chelsea is plus 105 on that three-way line. To advance, your heaviest favorite to advance to the next round is Man City, minus 1,000. Inter Milan and Real Madrid, minus 310 to both advance. Borussia Dortmund minus 280, Palmeiras plus 145, excuse me, Chelsea is minus 190. That game is on the 4th of July, but just two games coming up tomorrow, and that is Inter Milan minus 310 and Man City minus 1,000, your two games tomorrow in the FIFA Club World Cup. Let's get you back to Sunday Night Baseball, where we are looking to cash our best bet here on Tarek Skubal to record the win for the Detroit Tigers here against the Minnesota Twins on Sunday Night Baseball in Detroit. We are going to the ninth inning with the Tigers having a 3-0 lead over the Twins. 10 hits for the Tigers in this game, 3 runs to show for it. The Twins just 1 hit off of Tarek Skubal, 2 hits for the game, as they did get a hit in that 8th inning against Tommy Kahnle before Kahnle got a double play to get out of the inning. So 3 outs, and we will cash our bet here on this best bet on the show, which was for the Tarek Skubal to record a win here in this game. I want to tell you guys about a new sports betting market in town called XCUTA, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. It's a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and the strategy of sports prognostication. You can create your own XCUTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event that includes Wimbledon, which begins tomorrow. You can create your own private or public auctions, over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Practice auctions for free are running now daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcuta and mention VSiN. XCUTA, the future of future wagering. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Scott Seidenberg here with you. It's Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. It is a final in Detroit. 3-0. The Tigers defeat the Minnesota Twins. So cash the best bet on Tarek Skubal to pick up the win. Win number 10 for the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner and the favorite to repeat as the Cy Young Award winner here in Tarek Skubal. Just appointment viewing every time this guy takes the mound. Absolute electric stuff. One hit allowed in 7 innings with 13 strikeouts. He went over his strikeout prop of 7.5 Ks in the first 3 innings. Skubal struck out 8 of the first 9 batters he faced. He retired 13 batters, I believe it was, in a row to start the game before allowing a hit in the 5th inning and continued to mow him down. A masterpiece once again from the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, as we are spoiled just watching this guy pitch every few days. It's tremendous. And for the Detroit Tigers, what a job that AJ Hinch and really this organization has done building this team. And yeah, it helps when you have a stud like Tarek Skubal leading the way. But the Detroit Tigers now are not just owners of the best record in Major League Baseball at fifth. Well, the Dodgers are 53-32, Tigers 52-32, right? Actually, no, Tigers will be 53-32 now. So the Tigers with the Dodgers, best record in Major League Baseball, but they're 11 games up in the Central Division over the Cardinals. They're like a shoo-in to win this division. They have the second best run differential, or third best run differential in all of baseball at plus 96. And it seems like when we look at the futures market here and you talk about teams that and their possibility of winning the World Series, it's like the usual suspects, right? It's the Dodgers. It's the Yankees. It's the Phillies, even. And then the Detroit Tigers are kind of like almost an afterthought. Why? Like, why? And here's your updated odds as we take a look here at the futures market in Major League Baseball. Now, I'm not going to argue against the Dodgers. Like, we know this roster is absolutely loaded, right? And with a team like the Dodgers, you know they're just going to get better and load up when they have to. Yankees are your second favorite at plus 600. The Tigers are next at plus 700. The Phillies now are with the Mets plus 900. Then there's the Houston Astros 11-1, Cubs 15-1, Rays sneaking in there at 22-1, and the Mariners at 25-1. Why not the Tigers? Like, why can't the Tigers beat the Yankees in a playoff series and get to the World Series? Why? Why can't that happen? Are the Tigers going to suffer a hiccup along the way and lose to somebody? When you look at this rotation now and you line it up in any sort of series, you got the best pitcher in baseball in Tarek Skubal going game one, Jack Flaherty, who got World Series experience last year when he was traded to the Dodgers, and he's had a very nice season. Maybe not up to his standards, but he still goes out there and he gives you a quality outing. And Casey Mize has really come into his own. Casey Mize is a guy who had so many expectations thrust upon him years ago as a top draft pick, and maybe took him a while to kind of figure some things out. But Casey Mize is having a heck of a season. 8-2 record for Casey Mize on the year. 2.86 ERA. You got those three pitchers in a playoff series? Why can't the Tigers be a World Series team? It just feels like and I get this. Look, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Yankee guy. I get it. I understand the bias. I do. I'll be the first person to acknowledge that. But it feels like when teams like the Tigers have years like this, and you know, you look at the Rays, look at, you know, other teams that have great years, it always feels like it's the generic public thinks of it as a nice story, a nice season, right? Tigers, great season, but they're not going to win the World Series, right? All the years that, you know, the Twins would have nice seasons, or you know, the Rangers would have a good year. I mean, these are teams that have gotten to the World Series. Rangers have gotten there. But it just feels like, oh, yeah, great season, but they're not going to win the World Series. The Milwaukee Brewers, one of the best records in the National League past couple of years, right? Winning the Central Division. Great team, great season. Not going to win the World Series. Same thing goes for, like, the Padres or the Giants. Like, it just feels like there's no respect for some of these teams that are outside of the major markets. The Tigers are a threat to everybody right now. This is the best team in Major League Baseball. And something that, you know, you notice is that I get it. When it comes to bolstering their bullpen or acquiring a big-time bag, when it gets to the trade deadline, are the Tigers more likely to make a move or are the bigger market teams more likely to make a move? Sure, the bigger market teams are more likely to make a move. But in an American league that feels like it's a two-team race, you know, the Tigers certainly could be that team. Another team that I feel like is getting no respect is the Houston Astros. And yeah, it kind of makes sense to talk about the Tigers and the Astros, you know, AJ Hinch connection. But how many people would realize, the average baseball fan right now, that the Houston Astros have the second best record in the American League and the second best record in all of baseball? The Astros are 50-34. All the Astros do is win games. And they don't have, you know, the same roster that they've had in previous years. They don't have the same pitching staff that they've had in years, right? There's no Verlander, there's no Garrett Cole, there's no, you know, like this isn't like the stacked roster that, you know, you've grown accustomed to seeing here from the Houston Astros over the past several years. But Framber Valdez is pitching lights out. Jose Altuve is still Jose Altuve. And they're doing all of this without arguably their best offensive player in Yordan Alvarez, who's been on the IL, and we haven't seen Alvarez play since May 2nd. The Astros have the best record, the second best record in the American League, playing all of these games without Yordan Alvarez. If we look at like who's been contributing for them, and we look at the stats here of the Astros, first off, Isak Paredes is a great player. I mean, he's the dude just rakes. But you got 17 homers from Paredes. Altuve's doing his thing. Peña, Christian Walker, very good first baseman. Yainer Diaz at catcher. Cam Smith having a great year. You know, you talk about teams that are being disrespected, and you know who's talking about this team winning. Who's talking about this team winning? The Houston Astros, 50 wins right now, second best record in baseball behind the Dodgers and the Tigers. And yet the Astros, 11-1 to win the World Series. To win the American League, the Astros plus 450. Yankees plus 260. Tigers plus 300. Astros plus 450. Why not the Houston Astros? The Astros are plus 160 right now just to make it to the League Championship Series. And you know, Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, you're 1-2 in a playoff series. You can figure out who your third starter is. And the Astros could make a move and get better at the trade deadline. Some of these teams are just not being talked about enough in Major League Baseball. It seems it's all about the Yankees. It's all about the Dodgers. It's all about the Cubs. Some teams are just not being talked about enough. Hey, if you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge, coming out Tuesday, July 1st. It is packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long, and kick off your season in confidence. Get full access to every VSiN Betting Guide, daily best bet email, exclusive content, through the whole season and the Super Bowl. That's just for $175. Your smartest NFL season bet starts right now at vsin.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSIN Live. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you on Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up at the top of the hour, going to get into the NBA. Free agency begins coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern time here tomorrow, and that'll be the time where teams can negotiate with free agents, and then they'll sign later on in the week. But there were some big news that were made earlier here today on Sunday, and moves that were made obviously earlier in the week with trades. But I'm talking about opt-outs, opt-ins, and one of the opt-ins has been LeBron James, who opts into his massive contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. So coming up at the top of the hour, Trevor Lane, host of Lakers Nation and NBA Front Office Show, will join us on the program, get his thoughts on the LeBron opt-in, the Lakers outlook here for this season, and some interesting comments that were made, and what other teams would be looking to do here in the free agency market as the NBA free agency begins coming up here tomorrow. And before we know it, the NBA Summer League is going to be here in Vegas, which I expect some moves to be made during the Summer League, because the Summer League's like a convention, or the whole league is here, in town. So I can't wait to see what goes on in this, what has been expected to be in what has started out to be a busy, busy NBA offseason. I want to continue to talk some Major League Baseball because over this weekend we saw some interesting results on the field, including the New York Mets getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not just getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, but getting blown out by the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Mets allowed 30 runs in the three games to the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend. They scored only four. This is a Mets team that has gone in a free fall. Right now, the New York Mets in the National League East standings are a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies. They are 48-37. But they have lost 13 of their last 16 games. Now, you want to call it a summer swoon, right? Weather's getting hot. Players are tired. Need to head towards a break. Okay. Or are there real concerns for this Mets team? We know the Mets going to spend a lot of money. Spend more money than anybody, right? Mets and Dodgers going to spend a lot of money. They signed Juan Soto to the massive deal. And to Soto's credit, after a horrific start to the season, Juan Soto has surged in the month of June. Like, these losses have not exactly coincided with Juan Soto being, like, playing bad baseball. Soto has tore it up here in the month of June. That hasn't been the problem for the Mets. Juan Soto in the month of June has hit 11 home runs. He's batting .322 with a slash line of, oh my goodness, .736 slugging and .1214 OPS for Juan Soto. Now, I want to look at something here. A .1214 OPS for Juan Soto in the month of June. If we look across all of Major League Baseball, for the entirety of the season, Aaron Judge has the best OPS this year at 1180. Juan Soto in the month of June has put up a better OPS than what Aaron Judge has done this season, than what Cal Raleigh has done this season. Like, that month, this month of June for Soto has been unbelievable. But the Mets are losing games. They had a team meeting this weekend on Saturday night. You thought it would translate to something good happening on Sunday. Clearly it did not. And so what's the issue for the Mets? Is it the injuries on their pitching staff? Obviously, that's the first place you're going to look. The Mets are dealing with a ton of injuries right now. You got Kode Senga, who got hurt when he was fielding first base on a high toss by Pete Alonso. He's going to have catch off of a mound coming up here. So he's still working his way back. Sean Manaea has been on the IL. We haven't seen Sean Manaea yet. Not ready to make his 2025 season debut for the Mets. You just saw another injury to Griffin Canning that ended his season. You know, David Peterson has been like the lone bright spot for the Mets, but he got roughed up here against Pittsburgh over the weekend. And now this is two consecutive starts where David Peterson has got roughed up. So the guy that has been like the savior for your pitching staff is now going through his own slumps. His last two starts, he's allowed 10 runs in 8 innings. Something's got to change here with the Mets, whether it's a move to be made or something. But the New York Mets, who had all this hype, all this hope, all these expectations after acquiring Juan Soto in free agency, they have not put it together. They've had to send guys down to the minors. Multiple struggling players being sent down. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Mets. And I don't know if there's a solution on the horizon. Unless it is in the trade market, unless the Mets go out there and make a couple of moves, unless their injured players come back. Now, I don't want to call it a fortunate thing, but the fortunate, the positive that you can take out of this is that you still have a lot of season left to be played. And if we just isolate, you know, the wild card picture, the Mets right now, if the season ended today, the Mets are the first wild card in the National League. At 48-37, if the season ended today, Phillies win the division, Mets are the first wild card. So while it might seem like it's all doom and gloom because of this terrible stretch that's been going on right now, it can be chalked up just to 162 game season. And you're going to go through bad stretches like this. And like we always say when analyzing baseball and analyzing players, right, you're always going to play to the back of your baseball card. There should be some regression or progression here from the Mets in a positive way. And eventually, all things regress to the mean eventually. You can't play lights out and win and go on 17-game winning streaks. Eventually, you're going to have a long losing skid. You're going to go hot. You're going to go cold. The Mets right now are in a serious, serious slump. Let's take a look at the remaining schedule for the Mets here for the first half of the season, which is only a couple of weeks left here in the first half of the season. The All-Star break is going to be July 14th. July 15th is the All-Star game, right? And July 16th. So here's the remaining schedule for the Mets. Three games against Milwaukee beginning on Tuesday at Citi Field. And I gave you the numbers earlier. The Mets are the best home team in Major League Baseball. So despite these losses that are happening right now, the Mets are still the best home team in Major League Baseball. Now, they did get swept at home by the Rays a couple of weeks ago, right? But you look at this losing skid, they lose three games in Atlanta. They lose two of three in Philadelphia. They get swept in three games at Pittsburgh. When they're home, maybe things turn around. So, three games at home against Milwaukee. And then a three-game series at home against the New York Yankees, July 4th, 5th, and 6th. Then they go to Baltimore for three games against the Orioles, and they will end the first half with three games at Kansas City. Right now, odds to win the National League East, the Phillies are minus 130, the Mets are plus 110. This is a race that's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be back and forth between these two teams. The Phillies, who I still think are a buy-on team because I think the Phillies are going to be more aggressive than the Mets when it comes to the trade deadline. I think the Phillies are a team that actually has to evaluate this roster and this team with a little bit more desperation than the New York Mets. Because while the Mets have certainly all of these expectations and maybe pressure, the Phillies are playing against Father Time. Because as their roster gets older, this window of winning, this opportunity is closing very, very quickly. Here's the Phillies' remaining schedule in the first half. Three at home against San Diego, three at home against Cincinnati, three on the road against San Francisco, three on the road at San Diego. You look at that schedule, you look at the Mets' schedule, there's a good chance the Mets can be in first place by the time we get to the All-Star break. Want to remind you guys about Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, and you can earn cashback rewards. You get 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code LIVE. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter, at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up next, we'll get back into the NBA. Trevor Lane, host of Lakers Nation and NBA Front Office Show, will join me coming up right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.